Go ahead.
All right, it's 6:43. I'll call the meeting to order and I'll ask everyone to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with
liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to call the roll. Adam, here.
Present.
Bob?
Here. Okay.
I'm here. So we have a quorum. And we're going to go down to item number 4, approval of the minutes from March 4th. Did everyone have a chance to review them?
Mm-hmm. I'll approve the minutes of the March 4th, 2021 minutes.
I'll second. Okay.
Adam, thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. We're good with the minutes. So we're going to go down to item 5, additions, deletions, or corrections. Now, there's an issue that I didn't put on the agenda, but probably should have, and I know that Ken's going to speak to it. It would technically need to be added under new business. It would be 8B, and that's the discussion of proceeding with the project-based vouchers at Steiger. We can agree to have that conversation when Ken covers it in his report. Any thoughts on that? Instead of making it, I mean, we have to get it on the agenda, but we don't have to redo it when we get to new business.
That's a good time to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, makes sense.
Adam?
Yeah, make a motion to add item 8B, discuss project-based vouchers for Steiger.
Okay. And Bob, you second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carries. So we added on 8B, but we'll really have that conversation when Ken does his part of his report. Public portion, anyone here from the public who wants to speak? Okay. I think not. So we'll go down to old business under 7A, and that's Ken's monthly report. Ken, you're here, so if you'd like to go over.
Sure. So I'll leave Steiger Terrace for last, and just as some updates that either add to or amend what was in the packet that everyone received. So some good news on funding. You know, there continues to be additional funding opportunities coming out of HUD. So the first thing I wanted to make everybody aware of is, you know, the way the Congress works, they approve the budget, and we don't know what the budget authority is for the Housing Choice Voucher Program until, you know, generally 4 months into the year. And the notices just came out last week, and HUD had told all the public housing agencies to budget to have 99% of last year's funding. And what they actually issued was 104%. So it means that there's additional money that wasn't contemplated, which could help to, you know, fund more families getting assistance. And I'll talk more about that as the year unfolds, because we're going through the analytics on what we think we can do and still be safe. There will be some additional vouchers through the project-based voucher program, but we'll talk about that. You'll talk about that. I'll give you an update on the Steiger Terrace. And then the other thing, I just on the funding side, there is also additional money coming out through the American Rescues Plan. It's $6 billion for what they're going to do is issue 50,000, what they're calling emergency housing vouchers. I don't know exactly how it's going to be allocated. It sounds like they'll create the criteria, and either Derby will meet it, and obviously it's a choice whether you want to pursue it, but I'll keep you updated on that. The word we got is that sometime in May, end of April, they'll have the more definitive regulations on it. And in May is when we expect that they'll kind of roll it out. It's got a little bit of a twist in that it's got a sunset portion to it, unlike any other vouchers. It's, in other words, once the family doesn't need it anymore, it's not going to continue to be funded, which mm-hmm. kind of creates some complicated things. But I think when we get the regulations and the notices, I'll share all of that so you'll understand what's going on. So that's on the funding side. The family self-sufficiencies, we still continue to make sure we're closing all the gaps on, you know, with Laura's absence and departure, as well as adding people on the program. And I've outlined that in the report that was handed to everybody. We were happy to report that the agency plan was submitted, back in January, and satisfied all the HUD requirements on that going forward. There is news on the CDC extended the eviction moratorium even further beyond January 31st. It's now June 30th. And then the other thing of note I wanted to share is all the 1099s were printed and mailed to all the landlords participating in the program on time. And, you know, we continue to solicit interest on those who want to take advantage of the direct deposit. So that's the kind of the primary report that I was hoping to give. And then I can jump into Steiger Terrace now, Linda, if you want to talk a little bit about that. I can. Would you like to give a little bit of background for everybody's benefit and
kind of talk about the meeting we had?
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, you know, obviously, Ellen and others know Steiger Terrace much better than I do, but it's a 36-unit property. It's part of the state affordable housing portfolio for elderly disabled. And in 2013, the Derby Housing Authority attached housing choice voucher, project-based vouchers to 17 units in the property, and then started paying the HAP payments, the housing assistance payments, on behalf of these residents, you know, that basically were already on a rental assistance program. You know, basically all of this happened before any of the current board was involved or current staff. But it created one bit of a problem, that there were tenants were being recertified on both sides. And, you know, there never was the follow-up paperwork to support it. A HAP contract for the project-based program. And in some cases, tenants might have been entitled to a credit because they were paying according to the state calculation, but receiving the benefit of a federal housing assistance payment. And all that information has been tracked. So about a year ago, maybe less than a year ago, we made a trip, Ellen and Linda and myself and Maria, to go to HUD and discuss this with them with an idea of resolving it, because it's kind of a historical problem. We have to get a HAP contract in place, make sure we're meeting all the project-based voucher regulations to do that, and then, you know, also take care of this rent discrepancy issue. They, to our surprise, Linda, I did, I think, a great job of pushing the envelope, and they agreed to not only allow us to fix this, but suggested that we should extend project-based vouchers to the entire building. And the reason why that is a great news is it's a benefit to the long-term sustainability of the property, because there'll be federal dollars that are, you know, assisting the tenants. The tenants don't aren't impacted in any negative way. If anything, they get an additional benefit, because through the transition of taking the subsidy, which was tied to the units in Steiger Terrace, it now becomes federal subsidy that's called the project-based voucher. And the way that program works is, if the family should ever elect to want to move with their voucher down the road, they have the ability to do that, and the voucher gets replaced back in the unit through the Derby Housing Authority program. So we've been planning for this for a while to try to, as you know, we've been going through the list of things that needed to be brought back into compliance, and I think we've made great progress. And this is the one of the major last hurdles to kind of get us back on track. So there's no, you know, nothing that we need to be majorly concerned about. So we had a planning meeting, and Linda and Ellen and Joan and Bob were all part of the planning meeting. It was with six members of my staff, and it was, we were just wanted to share our recommended approach to how we would do this. You know, these are elderly clients. Obviously, you guys know them much better than we do, and we want to make sure that we're sensitive to, you know, the information that they're getting. So what we talked about and what we decided was that we would draft letters for the review of Ellen and Linda to basically approve. It would be on Derby Housing Authority letterhead explaining to them this transition. I've got the letters drafted. I just got to put some final touches on them. And then we would basically notice them that this is happening and invite them to an orientation session. And I think we decided three small groups of eight the consensus would that would be safe in the space that is available to have that meeting. And we talked after the meeting, decided that it would be better for us to do face-to-face. I know we don't want to add more people to the room, but that Imagineers would come with two people that can explain and answer any questions, and that Joan and Ellen can help explain any concerns that they would have. And I know, Linda, you said that you would, you have a preference to try to be there if your your work schedule allows. So,
right.
Yeah, so that was it. And then we decided a couple other things on how we're going to approach the rent discrepancy and money that might need to be returned to tenants in a way or form. So I'll stop there, Linda. You tell me what you want me to say, or just leave it at that.
You know, I think for now it's good. It's not an easy fix. So we're doing this in stages, and you know, we'll, as the stages unfold, we'll keep you updated on the process. But it is, as Ken said, the last big problem, last big hurdle that we've had to making us whole. And we've been looking forward to starting it. It's finally time to do it, and this is the beginning of hopefully the end of our problems. I don't know how else to say it. It's been hugely on my mind, and I know I bring it up every once in a while, but we weren't ready to tackle it. Now I think it's a good time to tackle it. And I'm thankful to Ken and his staff for helping us put together a plan and showing us the best way to implement this. Bob, did you have any thoughts? You were there in that meeting.
You know, I did take some notes from that meeting, and you know, I thought it was, you know, organizationally is the best way to handle it. You know, we've got to go back to 2013, and every month for 17 families, that can get quite cumbersome. But it's the best way to return the money that's owed to them. And it seems like we're finally going to get that behind us. So it was a good meeting today. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
It's a twofold problem. It's integrating people who didn't understand why they were being you know, reevaluated yearly twice, and for people who are now being brought into this program to understand that it's not going to impact their life in any negative way, that actually there are benefits to this, and it's not going to mean huge changes, but actually to give them some comfort. That, because I think there's been buzz for a while. I know, Joan, you've heard it, you've raised it at some of the meetings. It's a chance to finally address it, put it on the table, but in pieces. You know, as it needs to unfold, we'll do it in pieces, and I think it will go well. Mm-hmm. Adam, any thoughts, questions?
No, it sounds positive, and I'm happy to hear that we're progressing in a phased approach.
Yeah. All right. Ken, anything else you wanted to add?
No, I think that's it. I think you summarized it well.
Thanks. All right. So in general, thanks, any questions on Ken, on his report before we let him go? I know he's got a busy schedule tonight.
I'm good.
Okay. I'm all set. All right. Ken, thank you as always.
Thank you so much. I got to go back to painting with my daughter who just bought a new house. So. I can't let her down. Thank you for everything. All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ken.
Okay. So we'll go down to Joan's monthly report. Joan, you're on. Anything that you want to add to what you wrote? Any questions for Joan?
If you have any questions, I'll let you ask them before I talk.
She's done a fabulous job with the COVID clinics, the vaccine clinics. So many people have been able to get it, myself included, actually, at least my first shot, you know, with some of the folks from the Housing Authority, and I was so appreciative, and I know that they were as well.
Yeah, we were very fortunate. Griffin Hospital's outreach is wonderful to work with, so we have them to thank, and you know, it made it just easier for the residents not to have to travel, get an appointment. They were very pleased. So I did try and ask them if they would come back. You know, people think when you have elderly housing, everyone's 80 and 90. So when I try to tell them most of our people are on the 60 and younger with the disabled, I was hopeful that there's still a slight chance that they might be able to work us in for the younger population. But It honestly doesn't look good. They're spread so thin going all around the state. But there is every Thursday in Ansonia at their armory, they are doing about 300 vaccines a day. And I have been able to get a few residents in there, speaking with Mr. Coppola and, you know, kind of begging him and saying the nurses told our residents that couldn't come for whatever reason that they were welcome to come there. So that's worked a little bit. And the Griffin line that I have, some of the residents have been able to get appointments much quicker than going through other routes. So Griffin is a tremendous asset for us. So.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Of them. Yeah. The only thing that's happened, I think, since my report is I did, the energy assistance program is winding down the end of this month, and they made a couple of changes that we may be able to get a few more residents on. They dropped the asset test. So a few residents mm-hmm. that were not able to get on previously because they had more assets than the, you know, program allowed. I did contact a couple of them, and I'm meeting with them next week. I also talked to Lauren today, so the rental rebate program has been approved, so I'm meeting with her next week to start the paperwork on that.
Good.
And we weren't sure whether with all the, you know, stimulus money, whether the state would still do that, but apparently they did. So that's the residents' Christmas club, so they're happy. I've been told them all, but you know, and that program goes through the end of September, so there's lots of time for it. So the only other thing, and Ellen and I were talking about this today, we have a resident issue that has been ongoing that we're hoping will come to a head and get some resolution to get him some supportive housing, but not too sure where that's going. And I have another situation that I've still been mulling over. One of the residents is in the middle of an apartment at CCM Anna. She's in the middle. The people on all sides of her smoke, and it doesn't allow her to open her windows. She has extreme emphysema and COPD, and the smoke is really, really offensive and sickening to her. So I think I've kind of concluded I'm going to meet with the ringleader next week. And, I don't think any of them realize the negative impact it's having on this one resident. And the one, two, three, the four people that are the heavy smokers, I really don't think they would do anything to hurt this little lady. So I'm going to try to approach it to see where we can have them smoke safely, that she can occasionally open her window and get some fresh air, especially these nice days. So,
sure. And hopefully we're past the worst of the bad weather. So if people, you know, if we could find them a smoking area where that they could go, they might actually be happy to do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. So other than that, everything is pretty much status quo, except I still have a group of residents that absolutely refuse to wear the masks. And I've tried everything I know, but they're not wearing them. So, you know, just it's only a handful, but they're very vocal about it.
Sure. I don't know what else we can do. I mean, it was in the newsletter we sent out at the beginning of the pandemic. We sent out a letter strongly encouraging people to wear them. We can't make them wear them.
No, some of the sites actually are making it a lease violation because it's a health risk potentially, but that's a hard thing. You have to have a really strong group to get that through. So I think we're just going to have to hope for the best. And, hopefully the ones that aren't wearing the masks won't get the virus and won't spread the infection. So they several of them are convinced with having two shots, they're told they don't have to. And one of them yelled at me that VA called and told him he didn't have to wear his mask. And I was a little astounded. So I called VA and they were somewhat horrified that that was being said, because they said, absolutely not. They go with the CDC guideline as wear your masks outside. So, we just kind of challenged every day with that, but we'll see. Good weather, they're out there congregating. So it's a concern.
Sure. Gentlemen, do you have any suggestions? I'm at a loss.
It's happening in every, so it's not unusual that it happens with our seniors. Yeah. Well, you know.
I try to appeal to their guilt of, you know, you don't want your friends and residents getting sick, but they're convinced they're not going to. So, you know, yeah, you're right, Bob. It's not a new issue, but it's frustrating. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Other than that, things are pretty much okay.
Okay. Any questions for Joan? Anything in her report?
No, thank you.
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
So I thank you for the good work you've done with our residents through this COVID period. I know it's been taxing for you, but I just wanted to revisit the smoking issue. I know we had previously discussed cessation programs, and I understand that COVID kind of turned things upside down on us, but yeah. I wonder if we couldn't revisit some of that and see what, if anything, is available for our residents as far as health education, cessation programs, and things of that nature.
Yeah, there's actually quite a bit at them. Griffin has smoke enders. They have all kinds of, I have hotlines because I worked at a property that we did go smoke free, and we all had to get trained to run classes and, you know, do instruction. So there's quite a bit out there if the people are willing to think about stopping smoking. It's them making the decision that they want to is the hardest step to get to.
Yeah, I gather that. I just wonder if there's a level of advocacy that we could do by through Griffin's outreach program to see if they could create a better presence to try and advocate for a healthier lifestyle, if you will, with these people.
Yeah, Griffin would be glad to do it. There's no doubt about it. And I think our nurse that usually comes with the blood pressure once the COVID vaccine is stopped, she has a Live Well program that comes out of the Agency on Aging that Griffin has gotten the funds to do. And she would really like to do it on our site so we could incorporate, you know, healthy living around not smoking into that. I think we just have to wait till she's has time freed up with vaccinating.
Yep, I understand. I just want you to keep it on your back burner, if you will.
So. Sure, absolutely.
You know, part of the problem is that our lease grandfathered in people who were smoking prior to the change in the lease. Now that lease, Ellen, you could probably speak to how long it goes back, how far it goes back. We've talked about really needing to update the lease, and that would be one thing that we could do is just say, we're not going to tolerate smoking at all. You know, if you come in here, you understand that we're smoke-free, there's not going to be any, we won't make anything available to you that we can, but you have to agree not to smoke. Now, that would have to be ready for December, correct, Ellen?
The new lease already took over for April 1st.
No, I understand, but when would the new one need to be ready for next time?
Probably next January or February.
Okay.
Yeah, most of the ones that were grandfathered in, they're not there anymore.
Or yeah, they've that's stopped fortunate. Smoking. Yeah.
So everybody, technically everybody is who is smoking, came in with the understanding that they could not smoke?
In the apartment, yeah.
Right.
Okay, I wonder if we can't extend that to on the property for the next time.
You can, I know with the process I went through with the other, we had to give them 16 months notice so that they had some months to find another apartment if they chose to smoke and they were not gonna be able to smoke anywhere on the property. There was the long lead time, you know, and we had to run these smoke enders classes. That was all HUD regulated, so you folks may have some different avenues, but there had to be a timeline when they were notified and given them time to find alternate housing.
Well, in consideration of making that change on the lease, would it be unreasonable to at least send the letter out saying that the new lease is going to come out with, you know, we're giving you 16 months notice that, well, that's, no, can't do that. Let's think about how we can do this. At least get the letter out. Say a change is coming.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, what do you think about that?
Yes, I think it's a good idea to let them know that, you know, a lot of housing sites have gone smoke-free, so Derby is unusual, is not being punitive. It's for the health and safety of their neighbors. Most of what we tried to do was let them know how dangerous secondhand smoke was. And, you know, that when you're smoking, it impacts everyone that's around you. But the timeline was pretty critical that, you know, the new lease is going out or the new applications. It was very clear that we were a smoke-free property. And we did not have a designated smoking area. Some properties do. That's another decision, you know, you might want to think about. But yeah, as long as you give them enough time to get on a wait list for other properties or find alternates or give them the time to successfully quit smoking.
Or if they choose to go property.
I'm sorry, Bob?
Or if they choose to go off the property.
Right, yeah, but you don't want to have them homeless, so it was...
No, to go smoke. They can, I mean, walk down the street at CC Manor, you're off the property.
Right, that's true, yeah. And then you have to decide whether you allow them to smoke in the cars or, if they have to be truly off. You know, the older ones were the ones that resisted it the most because they had smoked for maybe 50, 60 years. This was their home, you know, but it's a challenge, but it's a worthwhile one.
All right, thank you.
Should we think about this and put it back on next month and see if we can come up with a strategy for getting a letter out?
Yeah, why don't we find out what the exact HUD regulations are so we could put that in the letter and reference HUD.
Okay.
That they know it's not just Derby Housing Authority.
Right. Good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we'll add this to next month's meeting. Joan, thanks very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks,
Have a good
Joan.
Evening, everyone. Enjoy you spring. Too. Yay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, so we'll go on to the update on CC Manor construction. It is, for all intent and purposes, done, and we can start filling as soon as we finalize the policy. The one problem that continues to exist, we actually have a current certificate of occupancy, is the problems that we talked about last month that came about from the electrical issue. So we had a huge meeting because Imagineers, when the lights went down, they went out at night. And so we used our protocol. We called Imagineers and they tried to come out and do whatever they could do. They couldn't do very much. They got a professional electrician to come out and he did considerable amount of work and found issues and took some pictures and I presented them and the architect was like, okay, I can see this. So then we had a meeting with the contractors and their electrician, and this was all remote, and Imagineer's electrician. And there was a lot of disagreement about where the issue started. I mean, I'm pretty convinced, and I think the architect is pretty convinced, that when the contractor's electrician lifted a pole and put a three-way splice for the three apartments' electricity, it wasn't seated properly. And it filled with water and it filled with mud. And we have some pictures. But then there was discussion about when there was digging, some trenches were dug for laying the wires for the generator system. Possibly a wire was nicked, which caused some other problems because we had no problems. In the last meeting, I said to them, listen, Ellen keeps meticulous records of the calls. And I can go back to a log and I can show you that there have not been electrical issues there. So actually, Imagineer's electrician went out with a contractor's electrician because when we decided that the problem laid with the contractor's electrician, Imagineers said, okay, let's stop the work. Let's stop our work and just let the contractor take over, which made sense. So they went out, they met with the with Imagineer's electrician. He showed them what still needed to be done. They have most reluctantly agreed to continue the work at their cost. There still was, I think, pretty close to $9,000 between Imagineer's electrician and the work that Imagineers did. So the agreement was to split it. The contractor would take half, we would take half, because at the end of the day, we have a bit of an upgrade. Imagineer's electrician did some work that the other contractor considered an upgrade in terms of the lights. So we have actually, Ellen, because she's on top of it all the time, all the bills have been paid. So we'll have money coming back. We'll have half of that coming back. The electrical work will be finished at no expense. That was about the best deal I could get because it got pretty heated. And at the end of the day, as the architect said to me, you know, Linda, it probably was their fault, but we're never going to actually be able to prove it. So as long as it's safe and you've got the lighting, this probably is the best deal you're going to get. So that's where we are. They're continuing to fix that light, those lights. I think there's four that were involved. It's not that there's no electricity out there. Believe me, everything's working. We haven't had any complaints, but it has to be laid correctly and strung correctly. So that's what they're working on now. But otherwise, everything's good to go. We can fill the apartment.
Good.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. And up to, okay, so we'll go down. If there's no questions, I'll go down to update on attempts to hire part-time maintenance. So we went to the Valley Indy, and we had the ad put there, and we didn't think we got anybody. So we then put into the Bridgeport Post. We now actually have two applicants, but our closing date is the 23rd of the month. They seem to be good applicants. We think both of them, I haven't seen the resumes yet, but Ellen thinks that they're both Spanish speaking, which would be a blessing. One of them was employed by the Bridgeport Housing Authority. So they kind of know what the work is. So we're going to wait until the 23rd to the closing date. And if one of you would like to interview them with Ellen, whatever candidates we get. I talked to Ken today and I gave him a heads up that the board had decided to put the ads out and that they were out and that we were hoping to be able to hire two. And I would let him know so that we could move out. Ellen, you were saying 24,000 this month alone?
For Imagineers.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of where we are. I think Mark also, he put it on the city website, and he was approached by a friend, and one of the people actually came by word of mouth, Mark Garfalo and Randy Ritter. He came to us with good recommendations. So I'm very optimistic, hopeful.
So would that be a third person, Linda, or is that one of the two?
That's one of the two.
Oh, okay. So someone here knows them.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
I wouldn't have any problem. I mean, if there's only two, we just have to make sure we do, you know, background checks and things.
That's done already.
Oh, it has been done?
I did it already.
Okay.
And they both passed. They both passed.
That's good.
They'll just need to go for their drug testing and all that.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, it is.
So we just have to see if we get anybody else, and then hopefully one of you two will sit with Ellen and do the interview. That would be great.
Sure.
I mean, that's not a problem.
Okay. Any other discussion on that?
No, it's good.
Okay, it is good. So we'll go to the discussion and formation of policy regarding the new handicapped accessible housing. Adam, you did an awesome job. Everybody has a copy. I know Adam sent it to us, but I had it put in the packet.
Yep.
Any discussion?
No. Nope.
My only thought was, and I want to open this for discussion, was switching priorities one and two, only because we have so many who are current residents who are in need. When I talked to Ken last, which was prior to last month's meeting, there he thought there was one, but he didn't know if he met the criteria. So I don't know that he reached out. I can ask him to do that again. But other than that, I think it fits the bill completely. This is what we needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Do we need to
Say that with number one, does that have to be a resident that's already living in the elderly?
Number one, I think, could be a VASH, correct, Adam?
Number one is an existing DHA resident.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
It says it's very clear.
So my concern would be would be penalizing veteran status. So right. I'm not sure what your goal is there, but.
I take it back. Clearly I missed existing. I was thinking, because we had a conversation last month with a VASH, and that was what was stuck in my head. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. I'm good. I'll be happy to make the motion to accept as written.
I'll second it.
All right. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank God we have one. So we'll tweak the letter tomorrow and get them out, Ellen?
Yes, that sounds great.
Okay, good. All right, new business discussion on and action on proposed changes to business hours. Ellen, do you want to speak to that?
We really don't have a lunch area. We don't have anything to wash anything with or anything. And the doorbell's ringing all the time. We don't really actually have an hour for lunch. And I mean, you can't turn people away if they're coming there with a check and you know. So we just thought maybe just do a half an hour and just get out of there at 4, if that's okay.
So the office would
be open at 8:30 and just close from like 12 to 12:30 for lunch and then leave at 4 instead of 4:30.
I don't have any particular opposition to that.
As long as we have to post it.
I guess I'm with what you just said there. I have some other questions. If you're not comfortable closing the office, I wonder if just because of people dropping stuff off, what if we cut a mail slot into the door? Would that help?
Well, they could put it under the door too.
Could just mount the mailbox to the door.
Yeah, I mean, some of them will come at lunchtime and have paperwork and, you know, I mean, I don't want to send them away. They're there with the paperwork, you know, for like if they need it for leasing up or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not pushing back against your proposal here. What I'm saying is, in addition to, could we do some other creative solutions?
Yeah, I mean, we could maybe put a sign out there to slide it under the door. I mean, make sure it goes under. I don't know.
I mean,
I'd prefer to have a secured mailbox or a lockbox on the front.
Yeah.
I was thinking a lockbox too, Adam. I'm thinking some of that's information. I mean, I would think a lockbox secured to the wall, you know.
Yeah, just like a deposit type box kind of deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a discussion that needs to happen with the building management there, just because it's their
probably
property now.
Yeah.
But,
we have new people going in too, right behind us.
Okay.
Now they have access to come through our building if they have to. Like our part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just block everything up when we leave.
Yeah,
they just told us today. that they're going to rent out the other spot back there.
Yeah, you're just going to have to lock your offices when you leave.
Yep. Yep. Why don't you
ask them what can be done to the door or the or where we can put something like, you know, like a lockbox there?
Okay, I'll ask Tim.
Let's see if it's see what we can do.
Okay. Especially if they told you that people are going to be now walking through. And
well, no, if they have to, that's their fire door. They have to have a second exit. So that would be the door there.
But it would
be it's not going to be normal travel for them.
No. Right. No.
And, you know, I don't have any problem with the hours that you mentioned.
Yeah, we'll send out a letter to the tenants letting them know. I'll change it on the website.
Okay. So is there a motion to allow this change, proposed change?
Yeah, I'll make the motion to change the business hours of the Derby Housing Authority office.
I'll second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none?
Aye.
Pass.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
Ellen, this is your portion of the report?
Oh.
Your portion.
Okay. Okay. Once Steiger's all leased up, I have 74 that's still vacant, but she's going to take it for 5-1. Number three, the gentleman decided that he wanted it, and he called me for days and days and kept just sending everything. And then I was on the phone with PHA Web. We had the prorate and everything, got everything in the computer. Diane called him to come sign the lease so he could lease up for the middle of the month. He said, I don't want it. So three's not rented, so I have to get somebody in. So we're going to have, we have 3 and 28. 28 at Steiger is empty, and 3 at Lakeview right now. And all bills and vouchers, the checks are all done. They're all ready to be signed.
So. Ellen, I'll be there sometime in the morning.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay.
All right. Any questions for Ellen?
No.
Nope. Thank you.
So it's 7:25. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you, Adam. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
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 All right. We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.